A green light flares horizontally. At its center, a cube-shaped prism forms. As it twirls closer, it sprays a fan of rainbow light. The rotating cube darkens, trailing streaks of light that form letters of a logo. STX Films. In slow motion, a young boy in shorts runs down a wooden pier on a lake. As he leaps, the image pauses with him in midair, then shrinks as words appear. Lakeshore Entertainment. Gears rotate around an H-shaped gate. A lion's head on the crossbar slides up. The letter separates, revealing gold letters and Chinese characters. H Brothers. A time-lapse satellite view of China at night, revealing moving and multicolored lights, fades into gold block letters. TMP. A view moves from the Los Angeles evening skyline to the top level of a parking structure, deserted except for one lone vehicle. The view moves closer to the large classic sedan, rocking slightly from the movement within. Inside, a man's head smashes against the driver's window. He stabs with a knife, which his female opponent blocks to the side. He slices her across the thigh, then attacks again. She punches him in the throat and grabs a pistol. She holds it under the seething man's chin.
You don't remember me, do
you? Fuck you! Fuck!
Blood splatters the driver's window. The woman steps out of the passenger side door and limps around the car. She tucks the pistol into the waistband behind her back, then pulls the dead man, who sports tattoos on both cheeks, out of the vehicle. Grabbing under his arms, she drags the corpse to the back of the car. As she pops open the trunk, the view glides upward, back to the city's skyline. Now, time-lapse views of clouds moving above palm trees and of the sun rising appear. More time-lapse images of heavy Los Angeles morning traffic on various highways follow. Titles appear: STX Films, Lakeshore Entertainment, and Hawaii Brothers Present. At a beach, a Ferris wheel and roller coaster tower in the distance. A Lakeshore Entertainment production. An STX Films production. Images of homeless encampments appear. The woman with the cut thigh strides by a row of tents on a litter-strewn sidewalk. A title appears: Peppermint. In her mid-30s, with shoulder-length hair and a determined expression, she heads toward a parked van on a busy Skid Row street. Two young children observe her from across the street.
Jose, she's here. Did you find it?
They watch as the woman stops at a van, grabs a dingy Christmas stocking off the handle, then goes inside. Once inside, the woman spots the two children watching her through a window. Jose waves.
Don't wave.
The girl pulls Jose's arm down. In the van, the woman slides a curtain over the window. She slips off her jacket and carefully sits down, her legs straight out in front of her. Grabbing a metal box, the woman pulls out a pair of trauma shears and proceeds to cut her pants away from her wound. She pours clear liquor from a bottle over the deep gash. Placing the bottle down, she tenses her arm. She rips a package of snack cakes open with her teeth and bites into one, then washes it down with a swig of the clear liquor. She grabs a pistol-grip skin stapler from the box. Pinching the wound closed, she aims the tip. A close view of the wound shows the staples holding the skin together. Now, she wraps duct tape over the wound and around her thigh. She snips the tape and leans back against the wall. Glancing down, She picks up the Christmas stocking and pulls from it a wrapped box with green ribbon. She unwraps the gift and stares intensely at the box. With a bloody hand, the woman turns to the front of the box, which reads, Firefly Troop, Christmas Mints. She closes her eyes, and the image flickers. A matching box falls off a hand truck, and the woman picks it up. Text appears. 5 years ago.
Riley! She's back.
Just Riley. Keep going.
In a parking lot.
I know you can hear me. Honestly, I don't know what you were thinking.
Sorry, Peg. I said I was sorry.
This parking lot is where we set up. Everybody knows that. From here to the Pottery Barn. We have earned this spot because we sell more Firefly Christmas Mint cookies than anyone. Maybe if you actually showed up to a Den Mother meeting, you would know these. And I
wouldn't
have
to... Well, not all of us can sit around in our perfect little houses south of the boulevard, Peg. Some of us have to work.
The woman, Riley, with long straight hair, packs her car.
I will be lodging a formal grievance at the next Den Mother meeting.
Okay, you do that.
Peg glares at Riley and her daughter.
I don't think you're Firefly troop material. Either one of you. Come on, Penelope.
Peg and her daughter Penelope strut away. Riley shoots daggers at their backs, then finishes packing the car.
What an asshole.
Don't say that.
Well, she is.
Well, maybe so, but still.
You should have punched her lights out.
Turning to her young daughter, Riley sits down in the open hatchback.
Punched her lights out, huh? Can't go around punching people who are jerks, then you're just as bad as they are.
But I know you took the morning off work. Thanks for trying to help me.
Riley hugs her daughter.
Do you know how amazing you are?
Patting her back, Riley gives her a kiss on the head, then lets her go.
Happy birthday. Get in the car. Run, run, run. Go, go, go.
At an auto garage.
Listen, I wouldn't ask.
A clean-cut man speaks on the phone.
When do you think? Next month. Right. Yeah, thanks.
He glances at the phone frustratedly, then hangs it up. Standing at a counter, he picks up two pieces of paper, studies them, then sets them down. He picks up a handwritten note. Written on it is the name Mickey and a phone number. He spots Riley waving at him from her car and pockets the note.
Hey, Squirt! Oh, how are
hey,
you?
Hey, okay.
I should be home by 4:30.
Okay. Someone's gonna have a birthday party.
The other kids will be there by 4. Can you handle 30 minutes on your own?
How many other kids?
All my friends, Daddy.
Chris North, everything in your life has prepared you for this moment.
She kisses Chris.
Oh, I am late. Love you. Love you.
Bye. Love you.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Come here, birthday girl.
Now, Riley rushes to a bank entrance.
Hi, Mr. Watson, I'm late.
Well, we'll talk about it later. I gotta do some Christmas shopping.
Okay.
And I need you to close today.
Oh, today's
Dee Dee
actually...
called in sick, so you're closing.
It's my daughter's birthday.
Yes, for extra hours, I'm giving them to you. You're closing.
Mr. Watson heads off. Riley glances down dejectedly before going in. At the garage...
Are you sure, Mickey? Are you really sure? Because don't put me in a situation...
I got kids too, man.
Chris fidgets.
10 minutes. Our lives change. Our kids' lives change.
Mickey smiles.
Nobody knows. Nobody will know. All you gotta do is drive. I'll take care of everything else.
I don't know, Mickey. I don't know.
You wanna get Riley a house, right? Good school for Carly. This greasy hand shit, it's not gonna get you there, man. This will.
Chris looks uncertainly at the nodding Mickey, then glances at his daughter, Carly, playing in the next room. Later, Riley's hatchback pulls into a driveway. She enters a Christmas and birthday decorated house.
Hi! I'm here. Happy birthday!
Only Chris and Carly sit in the living room.
Where's everybody?
Carly stares at a bouncing reindeer toy.
Nobody came.
Riley mouths, "Nobody came," to Chris, who shakes his head and gestures to the answering machine. Riley moves to the machine and presses a button.
Riley? Peg? Let's forget that little snafu in the parking lot ever happened. We're having a little holiday get-together today. Penelope invited the whole class. I think Carly's invite must have gotten lost in the mail. Feel free to stop by if you're not doing anything else. I'm sure you remember the address, south of the boulevard. Hope to see you guys.
Told you. You should have punched your lights out.
Chris smiles, then scratches his head. Riley wears a concerned expression as she turns to Chris, who raises his eyebrows.
You know what, buddy?
She kneels down in front of Carly.
We don't need them anyway. It's your birthday.
My birthday sucks.
Carly, language.
It does.
Riley smiles at her daughter.
We're gonna go out for pizza.
Carly's eyes widen.
We are just the three of us. It'll be fun.
And then we're gonna go to the Christmas carnival.
Oh yeah. Yes, the Christmas carnival. And when we get there, we're gonna ride every ride and play every game. We'll do all the virus and germ infested whatever. But I'm good with that. It's your birthday. And then
ice cream?
Ice cream. Yes, heck yes. Ice cream, yes, as much as you want. All right, we're gonna have a big night. Go get a jacket. Let's go.
Yeah, I'll be ready to say.
Carly takes off. Riley glances worriedly at Chris. Then they both stand.
I'm sorry, I just...
Hey. It's not always gonna be like this.
You promise?
Yeah, I promise.
As they embrace, Chris stares off pensively. Later, he waits outside, holding his cell phone.
Mickey, not here right now. There's a message.
Mickey, hey, it's Chris. I'm out. I'm not risking it. It's not worth it, man. All right, listen, I'm sorry. Give me a call when you get this.
He hangs up as Riley and Carly come out.
Oh, good.
Carnival!
Yay! All right. Here we go.
A view from a parked car across the street shows them heading to the driveway. As the hatchback passes by the parked car, a man in a white tank t-shirt inside holds a cell phone.
It's me. Is the boss around? I found the other one.
In a warehouse.
Seriously? You try to rip me off? Did you really think you were gonna get away with it, Mickey?
Bloodied, Mickey sits tied to a chair.
The boss, it's for you. It's Cortez.
The boss wipes his bloody hand and takes the cell phone.
I have to take this phone call. I hope you don't mind, Mickey. Talk to me. What you got?
I'm tailing the other guy. What do you want me to do?
Smoke him. Make an example. A loud one.
The boss hands the phone back to one of his men and grabs a stack of cash.
Hey, Mickey. Is what you wanted?
He slaps Mickey's face with the money.
It's gonna make all your problems go away?
He drops the bills onto Mickey. Another man hands the boss a curved machete.
Feels good, huh?
He hovers behind Mickey.
Have some folding cash on you. Right?
He shoves Mickey's head.
Right? Fucking puto!
He slings the blade at Mickey. Blood splatters on a Santa Muerte shrine. Now, at the Christmas carnival. Carly raises her arms as the family rides a Ferris wheel. Montage. The family rides on a carousel and poses in a photo booth. By the photo booth.
I kept my eyes open almost the whole time. Oh!
Oh, I hope I look smart.
Oh, that's
look at me.
You're a booger.
Pretty charming.
Ooh, ice cream.
Oh.
Carly points and runs ahead of her parents. In the parking lot, a large dark sedan pulls to a stop. A view from the vehicle shows Carly stepping to an ice cream stand, followed by her parents.
We're coming. Hey, what'll it be?
Two of your finest Rocky Roads.
Yes, and whatever the little lady.
Peppermint. Double scoop.
Peppermint double scoop. All right.
It's your birthday.
Happy birthday to
Thank you.
The view moves along the sedan, revealing a man with a neck tattoo in the back seat, then one with cheek tattoos in the front passenger side. Cheek tattoos takes a hit off a joint, then passes it to a man with two lines tattooed under his left eye, sitting in the driver's seat. Back at the ice cream stand.
With the
ice cream.
Goodness, look at that.
Can I try that?
Riley tastes Carly's ice cream.
You like it?
The driver tosses the joint. As the family moves from the stand, the sedan creeps forward.
I'll grab a napkin.
Okay.
Riley returns to the stand to grab napkins.
Do you mind?
Yeah, you got it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
The sedan moves closer to Chris and Carly.
We
should have your birthday every day. Hey, make sure when you get in a car.
Riley rushes to catch up with them. In slow motion, the car creeps forward, and out of the passenger side windows, the two tattooed men aim submachine guns at Chris and Carly. They fire, shots ricocheting off a van next to Chris and Carly. The drive-by continues as Riley rushes toward her family, who fall to the ground. She screams. The sedan pulls forward, and the killers have Riley in their sights. A hail of gunfire is sent her way, and Riley is thrown violently to the ground. The men cease shooting as Riley lies on her back. The sedan drives off. Riley sits up on an elbow, staring in the direction of Chris and Carly. Teary-eyed, she struggles to her feet, then falls and crawls forward. Lying over her motionless family, she grabs Chris's shirt, then cradles Carly's head. She glances around helplessly, then kisses her daughter on the forehead. Crying in anguish, Riley collapses next to Carly, her hand on top of her daughter's motionless arm. Later, a bandaged, unconscious Riley lies on a gurney.
Ready?
Paramedics lift her into an ambulance.
Closing up.
The ambulance door shut. A mustached detective in his 40s watches with a concerned expression.
Can you take a look?
A coroner nods to him, and the detective moves next to the sheet-covered bodies of Chris and Carly. He squats and lifts up the corner of a sheet. An older detective with graying hair spots the mustached one and approaches him.
It's messed up, I get it. But you need to get your gang face on. You got a job here, right?
The younger detective rises, his eyes trained downward.
Shit ain't easy when it's a kid. It's not supposed to be easy. That's the difference between us and them.
They glance at each other before the older detective moves away. In the hospital, Riley's teary eyes squeeze shut. She slowly blinks them open, the white of the room coming into focus.
You were supposed to call me the moment she woke up.
You don't wake up from a month and a minute and you just find out flipping on a light switch. The gunshot may have missed her brain, but the cerebral swelling...
She's gonna be all right.
She has a bandaged head with her hair cut short underneath.
All right is out of my hands. When her memory returned, we had to restrain her and she had to be sedated.
The mustached detective steps into the room.
Mrs. Norris.
A doctor follows him.
My name is Detective Stan Carmichael.
Detective.
I've been waiting to speak to you for a long time.
Carmichael glances at Riley, then looks down.
I'm very sorry for your loss. Forgive me for jumping in so abruptly, but we have three suspects in custody who we otherwise will have to release tomorrow.
Detective, this is really not the time. I can talk.
The doctor gives a slight nod. Carmichael steps closer to the bed.
We think that what happened may be linked to your husband. There were rumors he was involved in a plan to rob a drug dealer named Diego Garcia.
He wouldn't do that.
No, yes, you're absolutely right. We recovered a voicemail on his friend's cell phone. Your husband did refuse to go along with it, but word had already gotten out and got back to Garcia. Now, an informant has given us a very credible lead, but no witnesses are willing to step up. We know everything, but can't prove anything.
With an anguished expression, Riley nods.
Detective, I think that's enough now.
Carmichael nods to the doctor.
You get some rest, Mrs. North. I'll come back. But
He set something on a rolling tray.
Thought you might want to have this.
Riley picks up an evidence bag with a blood-stained carnival photo booth strip with four pictures of her family. Riley flashes back to images from that night at the carnival. The photo booth, the carousel, the Ferris wheel, the ice cream stand. She squeezes her eyes shut as flashback images of the drive-by shooting and her downed husband and daughter play. Her eyes open wide. Carmichael heads out.
I saw them.
He glances back at Riley.
Can I bring him out? Let's go, get in there.
Riley stands with Carmichael and the older detective, Moses, behind a one-way mirror as six men in prison jumpsuits line up against a wall. One of the men has tattooed lines under his left eye. Riley flashbacks to the driver of the sedan.
It's number five.
Number five, step forward.
The drive-by driver steps forward. Riley nods her head.
Take him out next, group.
That group files out, and another line of men in jumpsuits come in. The third man in has a tattoo on his neck.
Number three.
Number three, step forward.
Riley flashbacks to the man with a neck tattoo firing from the back seat.
That's him.
The final lineup comes in. Riley studies them.
Four.
A man with tattoos on his cheeks steps forward. Riley flashes back to him, shooting from the front seat. She nods.
Are you sure?
Riley shoots Carmichael an annoyed look, then faces forward.
Yes, I'm sure.
Outside, Carmichael sits on a backless bench as Moses approaches with food.
Hey, thanks.
Moses takes a seat and sets his food down. Carmichael bites into his lunch. The older detective stares at him.
What's the matter? Not hungry?
Moses holds up an evidence bag.
Tell me what that is.
A badge with a bullet hole.
That would be a detective badge.
That would be all they found on the last cop who went after Diego Garcia. It was in his locker, hanging in his locker here, inside Metro Homicide headquarters.
Garcia has people on the inside.
Garcia has a nickname. La Guillotina. There's a reason for that shit, Stan. Chris North didn't even rob Garcia. He just considered it. And he's on the wrong side of the grass with his kid. Whatever happens with this case, let it happen. Don't be stupid. You'll only get dead and it won't change anything.
Carmichael gazes down thoughtfully. Now, in her house, Riley places a taped moving box on a stack of others. She glances mournfully around the packed-up room. She enters a packed-up bedroom. Two child drawings remain taped to a wall. Riley stands before them. Fighting back tears, she pulls one off the wall. Now, she picks up the toy reindeer off of a box. She taps its nose. Riley turns. In the kitchen, a man with slick-backed hair and a briefcase lets himself in.
Hello?
He travels further inside as Riley comes out of the bedroom.
Oh, Mrs. North.
Who are you?
I hope you don't mind I let myself in.
He holds up his hand.
I'm a friend. Do you want to have a seat?
What do you want?
He glances down at the kitchen counter.
Oh, eviction notice. I can only imagine how awful all of this has been for you. I mean, how does one even begin to recover from something like that?
Why are you here?
I just want to give you a bit of advice.
She stares at him, arms folded.
The road to recovery has to begin somewhere. The recognition that, as gut-wrenching as it is, in the end, nothing's gonna bring your family back. I know, and that's the regrettable, yet unavoidable truth. Eventually, maybe not right away, but eventually it'll be time for you to move on. New place, New clothes, new memories.
He sets an open envelope on the counter. Inside, a $100 bill sits atop a stack of cash.
And a life.
He studies her as she leans over to inspect the envelope. She eyes him suspiciously.
What is this?
He gazes at her, then glances at three pill bottles on the counter.
Lorazepam, lithium.
He grabs one.
Spiritone, that's an antipsychotic. Hey.
Riley takes it from him, then moves the pill bottles away from him.
I think it's time for you to leave.
Maybe you've made a mistake. Your memory's a little hazy. I'm just putting it out there. Maybe you didn't see things the way you thought you saw them.
Get out of my house. Get out of my house!
She shoves the envelope of cash at him.
Get out!
He heads away, then comes back.
You think that you're gonna have justice? Make them all pay.
He stares at her smugly, then leans in.
They won't.
Get the fuck out!
Riley shoves him toward the door. He backs up, slips the bribe into his briefcase, and exits. Now, in a courtroom, Riley sits in the witness stand.
Is there anything else you would like to ask the witness, Mr. Anderson?
One last question, Your Honor. Ms. North, just to clarify one point. Did you see them get out of the car?
No.
The man with the bribe questions her.
Did the car ever stop moving?
No.
And yet you identified my clients as the alleged shooters.
He points to his three clients.
They did it.
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for legal conclusion.
Sustained. Mrs. North, we're interested in facts.
He just asked me a question.
It's okay. You identified my clients, correct?
Yes, I did. They did it.
Okay. And are you currently on any antipsychotic medications?
What?
Lorazepam, lithium, risperidone. Is there anything else that we should know about?
Wait.
You identified three men in a moving vehicle at night from 30 feet after a month in a coma and a mental breakdown and under the influence of antidepressant and antipsychotic medications. Is it possible that your recollection isn't what you thought it was?
No.
Wide-eyed, Riley shakes her head. Anderson looks to the judge.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Wait, but you're not hearing me. Can you help me out? You're the district attorney. Can't you do anything? I didn't even take those pills.
It is the opinion of this court that in this preliminary hearing, the evidence is insufficient for a juror to reasonably conclude that the state has met its burden of proof.
She eyes the judge.
I see no reason to hold the defendants over for trial.
The judge eyes her uncaringly. Riley watches Anderson start shaking his client's hands. The district attorney flippantly closes a file.
Wait a minute. This can't be over. These men killed my family.
Mrs. North, you're excused.
They killed my family.
You are
excused. This guy showed up in my house.
Mrs. North.
No, I am not finished.
You are excused,
Mrs. He offered me money.
Mrs. North.
No, I am
not done. Mrs. North, you're excused.
They are killers. They're fucking killers.
She rushes the defendants.
Clear.
Get away from me.
One bailiff tries to block her, and another one tases her. Riley falls to the floor. The three defendants snicker. Now, in slow motion, Riley falls to the floor, then gazes blankly ahead.
Bailiffs, remove this woman!
They pick her up.
Mrs. North, I'm remanding you to a mental health treatment program. Next case.
Now, Riley lies on a moving gurney, a streak of blood on her forehead. Carmichael catches up to the bailiff walking beside her.
Why is she bleeding? What happened?
She wouldn't stop banging her head into the bars.
Reaching the ambulance, the bailiff removes her handcuffs.
She's all yours now.
All right. Mrs. North? Riley, it's Detective Stan Carmichael. Do you hear me? Hey, guys, come on. You saw our family get murdered and the guys who did it just walked. How about you lighten up?
The paramedics stop putting restraints on her.
Clear. 1, 2, 3.
They lift her into the ambulance. Carmichael gets in.
Where's she going?
County General. Psych hold.
That place is a nightmare.
Riley glances at Carmichael. Her eyes shift.
That place is a nightmare.
She spots an oxygen tank next to her.
Hang on. I'm gonna make a call.
She grabs the tank and whacks Carmichael in the face. He falls into a paramedic, and Riley jumps out of the ambulance and scrambles away.
Ugh. You all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Riley runs into the street.
Sorry.
A truck brakes before hitting her, and she races across the street. Riley continues. continues running, a look of desperation on her face. She sprints down an alley. The image flickers, then she's gone. Daytime at a cemetery. Moses and Carmichael head to a gravesite. They stop at a blood-streaked headstone, which reads North, with the names Christopher John and Carly Rose underneath.
Well, you called it.
Carmichael glances at Moses, then shakes his head.
She'll turn up. One way or another, they always do.
Carmichael stares at the headstone as Moses scans the area. Present day. Carmichael pours liquor into a styrofoam cup of coffee and covers it with a lid. He gets out of the car wearing a jacket with police and block letters on the back. Still mustached, his hair appears more unkept.
Carmichael 3877, gang homicide.
A uniformed cop lifts crime scene tape, and Carmichael ducks under it. As he walks, he takes a sip of his spiked coffee and makes a disgusted face. Ducking under another crime scene tape, he joins Moses, who eyes him suspiciously.
Don't you look especially pretty this morning? Thanks for showing up.
Always been a firm believer in beauty sleep.
Moses grabs the coffee and sniffs it.
Pro tip.
He tosses the contents.
Wait until you're dead before you embalm yourself.
Moses hands back the empty cup, then gazes upward. Carmichael follows his eyeline.
Well, that's new.
As the detectives step forward, the view moves past a fire engine and up to a stopped Ferris wheel. A firefighter climbs up the truck's hydraulic ladder toward three bodies hanging upside down off the amusement ride. The view moves closer to one of the hanging male bodies. The view circles to the front of the body, revealing the man with tattoos on his cheeks that Riley killed earlier on a parking structure. In an office, a singing Santa decoration faces a woman at a desk in a cubicle who eyes it impatiently. She knocks Santa down, revealing the FBI seal on the wall behind it.
Good morning, Lisa. You got a minute?
What?
Well, somebody drove a truck into a gun store out in San Bernardino a couple of nights ago. The place was a Class 3 dealer. Military-grade stuff. ATF called us after reviewing the security footage. It was a woman. They got a partial frame of the suspect's face.
Give it to the DHS Fusion Center. Let them run it through their facial recognition system.
I did. Got a possible match from Customs. Stowaway incident container ship at the port of L.A. 3 months ago. Your name popped up on the case file, so I...
The male agent shows Lisa a tablet with security camera images of Riley's face on it.
Edmund?
Lisa stares at the screen, glances at her colleague, then heads off.
Inman.
Back at the crime scene, the three dead tattooed males now lie on the ground. Moses studies them, bent over with his hands on his knees.
He may be thinking what I'm thinking.
He rises to face Carmichael, who glances around the area. Carmichael pulls out his phone.
Carmichael. Who? Yeah, sure.
He hangs up.
The FBI wants to talk to us.
Feds.
In the back of the van, Riley shoves a clip into a pistol and checks the chamber. She grabs a short barrel rifle and stuffs it into a canvas duffel bag, along with some magazines. After loading shells into a sawed-off shotgun, she pumps it, then shoves it into the duffel bag. She puts coiled cord into the bag, spins a tactical knife into a holster, fastens a bulletproof vest, and grabs brass knuckles. She leans forward and gazes at the photo booth pictures, rubbing the strip with her thumb. She shoves the photo under her collar, then slips on a sleeveless hoodie. Skid Row bustles outside Riley's van. A gaunt homeless man beats another to a cigarette butt in the gutter. He brushes it off, lights it, then sits down near the van. He looks up as Riley is sliding the van door closed behind her. Across the street, Jose and the girl, Maria, watch Riley head off with a duffel bag slung over her shoulder. At the FBI office.
These guys run out of terrorists?
How come the feds care about a squirrely soccer mom?
Didn't she smack you in the head 5 years ago?
Smacking dumbasses ain't a federal offense.
Ha ha.
Bank robbery is. The night Riley North got away from you, she stole $55,000 from the bank where she was employed.
Are we talking about the same Riley North? Bank robbery?
Mm-hmm. She just disappeared. Completely off the grid. As if she just ceased to be.
You're shitting me. She wasn't the type.
I agree. A woman with no priors, even if her family is brutally murdered, doesn't just up and take 50 large and then take off. Got my attention?
In a large suburban house, Riley sets down a hammer and two nails near a gavel.
How many times did you betray your oath, Your Honor? I think that you're so goddamn corrupt, I don't even stand out.
Riley stands before the judge from her trial, who's bound and gagged with duct tape.
So, here's the deal. If you can tell me my name, I'll let you live. I mean, you'll eat out of a tube the rest of your life, but you'll live. You ready? Do you remember my name?
The judge trembles, tears welling in his eyes. Back at the FBI office.
Interpol tagged her 4 months later. Used her real name in a hospital in Hong Kong. Showed up with a dislocated shoulder, facial fracture, ruptured spleen.
Car wreck?
Don't know. She left before we could have her apprehended.
She vanished. Every now and then a lead trickles in from somewhere. Some we can almost substantiate, some we can't.
She's a ship magnet. Why are you wasting our time?
Then we found this on YouTube.
An underground fight plays on screen. A man kicks and punches a woman brutally. Moses glances at Carmichael.
That's Riley North.
Herself, in Europe last year, under one of the four identities we tracked so far. She got really, really good at staying off the radar.
So she spends the last 5 years bouncing around the world, learning how to get into trouble. And?
We don't exactly know what she was doing. What we do know is that she arrived in LA 3 months ago.
The male FBI agent plays more footage.
Security cameras got this during a gun shop burglary a few days ago. She only took military grade. Automatic rifles, high-capacity shotguns, specific ammunition. She knew exactly what she was looking for.
She's back.
And today you found the three guys that allegedly killed her family. Strung up, execution style.
Lisa stands with her arms folded.
Do you know what the date is today?
Come again?
The date. What's today's date?
It's December 21st.
5-year anniversary of her family's murder.
Now, the judge's hands are nailed to a desk, and cord is wrapped around him.
This stuff wrapped around you is debt cord. Explosive rope. You can cut through anything with this. Cut through trees. Cut through concrete. Corrupt judges.
He struggles, then stops, his eyes wide. Riley turns from a window to look at him, then notices something behind him. She picks up an antique metal reindeer, and flashback images of Carly's toy appear.
Watching someone take everything from you. All you have. All you're ever gonna have. Just gone. Hurts, doesn't it?
She slides the toy into a pocket.
Knowing that it's all over, and there is nothing you can do about it.
Riley slings the duffel bag over her shoulder. The judge stares at her with pleading eyes.
You didn't serve justice, Your Honor. I will.
She heads for the exit as the judge struggles in his chair. Now, Riley gets on a bus and takes a seat. She pulls a phone from her pocket and flips it open. She presses a button, and a phone number for Judge James Stevens appears. Riley presses send. Inside, in front of the judge, a flip phone screen lights up. A violent explosion blows debris out of 4 first-floor windows of the judge's house. On the bus, Riley gazes down pensively. She glances out the window, then closes her eyes. At the FBI office,
Carmichael. Mm-hmm.
The agents share a look.
What?
Okay. Thanks.
Carmichael hangs up.
Stephen Goldman and Robert Henderson, the DA and attorney at the hearing 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Goldman was found face down in his swimming pool and Henderson's house burnt down with him in it last night, both of them. And that's not all. LAPD bomb squad is currently on site at the residence of one James Stevens, criminal court judge, recently retired. Some sort of explosion at his house. There's barely enough left of him to fill an evidence bag. Don't think I need to tell you who he was.
We gotta go wide with this. APB, the media, the whole deal.
The detectives head out. Vehicles sit parked outside an industrial warehouse with many broken windows. Inside, men stack bricks of packed drugs as Cortez, in a polo shirt, steps through a makeshift assembly line of an illegal operation. He passes by women in underwear, working at tables full of white powder, scales, and other paraphernalia. Two men guard a clean room and pull aside plastic sheeting so Cortez and a thin thug can enter. Inside, he beelines to the boss, Garcia, and whispers in his ear.
What?
A man with a hardened countenance sits across from Garcia.
Just a minute.
Garcia rises to counsel with his men.
Our informant called. She got a judge, I know. And a lawyer we paid off.
Smoked some of her homies, too. The ones we sent to take out her husband. What the fuck was this? Like 5 years ago.
Is there a problem?
Garcia turns.
No, just,
He holds up a finger.
Go and get Jessica out of the car. Bring her in with a couple of drinks.
The thin thug leaves.
And that thing?
Garcia gazes upward thoughtfully.
Put a paycheck on her head. Call it a day.
Cortez nods slightly, then exits the room. Garcia touches a Santa Muerte shrine, then rejoins the hardened man.
Some personnel stuff. You know how it goes. Got 10 more tons.
You're bullshitting why I'm here. You know you shouldn't play games with the cartel. I came to deliver a message from my father.
No, subtitles appear. Aquí. Don't forget who put you where you are. Garcia shrugs a hand.
It's just a misunderstanding.
When shipment goes missing, maybe it's a mistake. But two, in a week.
You think I tried to steal from you? That it lasted this long by being stupid? Everybody wants to be a big dog. Little dog's trying to eat my food. That's all it is.
A fit woman in a tight dress enters.
Hey, baby.
She sets two glasses on the table and pours drinks from a bottle. Garcia touches her arm, and sporting a black eye, she glances at the cartel guy. Garcia eyes the cartel guy, who just glowers at him.
Get the fuck out of here.
Jessica sets the bottle down and leaves the room. Garcia takes a drink.
There's something you need to remember.
The cartel guy stands and leans over the table.
You are still a little dog. Don't let our business be interfered with again.
They stare daggers at each other. Then the cartel guy exits the room. The two guards at the door follow the cartel guy. Garcia takes another drink. Images of a cemetery flicker as a bus drives past it. Inside, Riley leans her head against a window. The view moves to reveal Carly sitting in the seat across the aisle, staring at her mother. Riley looks across the aisle and sees a young boy with long hair seated next to a passed-out man. She holds the antique reindeer in her hands.
Who's that for? It's for you.
She hands him the reindeer.
Thanks.
The boy takes it.
Is he okay?
He drinks. I have to take care of him sometimes.
The bus pulls to a stop.
Dad, come on.
The man rouses.
Bye.
The boy waves to Riley.
I told you not to speak to strangers.
They exit the bus.
Hey, where'd you get that shitty toy?
Now, the man leaves the boy outside a convenience store. Inside, he starts to open a display cooler door when Riley shoves it into his face and knocks him down. She aims a pistol at him.
Give me your wallet.
Okay. Now she aims at the shop clerk.
I'm gonna need you to stand still, please.
The clerk backs into a shelf of bottles. She grabs the boy's father's ID.
All right. What do we have here? Brian Hartley, 1214 Harlow Street. Open your mouth, Brian.
Brian opens. She shoves the muzzle inside.
This is one of those life-altering moments. Do I have your attention?
He nods.
I want you to take your boy Christmas shopping. I want you to give him the time of his life. I want you to grow up and be the father he deserves. Do you understand me? Say it again.
I understand.
You swear?
I swear.
1214 Harlow. I will never forget you, Brian. Are we clear?
She gets off of him.
Yeah?
Yes, ma'am.
What are you still doing here?
Slinging her duffel over her shoulder, she gestures for the clerk to step closer. She grabs him behind the neck.
You ever sell him anything else, and I will blow you and this place to bits. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a car?
Yeah.
Give me the keys.
She sets down a roll of cash.
Consider it a rental.
He drops the keys on the counter. She picks them up and exits. On a sidewalk, a cook chops food on a grill. A clean-cut man carrying a messenger bag glances around nervously as he walks past. He continues his trek past low-end shops. Up the street, Riley sits in a parked car, spying his movement. She observes as two men let him in through a door. As Riley spies, a homeless woman in a hooded shawl pushes a cart by the car. Riley gazes pensively at the woman. Now, behind the shops, a hooded figure pushes a cart toward two men.
What's up with this right now?
Riley looks up from under the hooded shawl. One of the guards stops her cart.
Hey, you're in the wrong place.
Oh, actually, I'm not.
Get the fuck out of here.
Brass knuckles on one fist, knife in the other hand. Riley punches one guard and stabs the other. She breaks the first guard's knee, then stabs him, too. She surveys the damage, then enters the building. Inside, Riley cautiously opens a door and steps through. She sneaks behind storage shelves full of piñatas and peeks through them. A group of men play cards. Riley heads back the way she came. She finds a set of stairs and climbs them. Elsewhere, men run cash through money counters. Nearby, the clean-cut man takes records and uses a calculator.
Suspected to have been behind today's bombing and of possibly killing up to five others. Authorities believe her to be armed and extremely dangerous. If you see her, please contact police at the number on your screen.
A picture of Riley appears on the TV newscast. Now upstairs, Riley peers down a narrow hallway. Discarding the hooded shawl, she sneaks down the hallway, brandishing the sawed-off shotgun. Riley pauses outside a closed door, then slowly opens it, revealing the clean-cut man and the money counters inside. They spot her and grab guns.
The fuck?
She retreats, closes the door, and breaks the handle. The card players downstairs scramble. Upstairs, bullets riddle the door as Riley stands unscathed in the hallway. The men rush to the door. In slow motion, Riley spins toward one end of the hall as a man appears. She shoots him, and he falls, wildly triggering an automatic weapon. Riley spins around. She takes out another thug and pumps her shotgun. A man runs upstairs. Riley shoots him through a window. Shards of glass fall to the floor below. As the money men pound on the door, Riley climbs onto the windowsill and jumps off. In slow motion, she hits a line of hanging piñatas, bounces off a shelving unit, and falls hard to the floor. Staying down, Riley spots two sets of feet traveling toward her. The men scan above, guns drawn. A pair of feet pass by. She aims at the second set. She shoots a foot, the man drops, and Riley shoots him in the head. The other man unleashes fire until he runs out. Riley rolls herself over a shelf behind him. She blows him away and heads in the opposite direction. She turns a corner and shoots another thug. A closer man attacks, and they each grab the other's gun. Riley kicks him in the groin and uses him as a shield. She pumps lead into the shooter. Riley's human shield takes the damage as another guy shoots. He runs out, and she picks up an automatic. She shoots, but he runs for cover behind some shelves. She shoots at him in the next aisle, then pushes the dividing shelves on top of him. She draws her pistol. She puts a bullet through his head. In the money room, a man stands by the locked door. A gun blast through the door blows him back. Riley kicks the door open and shoots two more men. She sticks a knife in the clean-cut man's nostril.
Hi.
Oh, God.
I have questions for you. You're not busy, are you?
No.
Later, the clean-cut man stands with Cortez as Garcia works out on a punching bag.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. She's fucking crazy, man.
You already said that, Marvin.
Yeah, well, I'm saying it again.
I decided to tell her everything. The whole damn operation.
Yeah, but you guys would have done the same thing.
I'm so impressed by how fucking stupid you are.
How much did she take?
She didn't take anything. She burned all the money.
Garcia stares angrily at the clean-cut Marvin, then glances at Cortez, who averts his gaze.
This is the last fucking shit that I need right now.
Boss, I am so sorry. You know that I would never. It's just these were some extenuating—
Shut the fuck up!
Trust me, we will have a very short conversation about this in a minute.
Marvin's lips tremble. Garcia moves to Cortez.
Double security. Put that bitch in a box before sunset. Before she gets us all killed.
Garcia trudges off. News plays on a TV.
Today, Los Angeles has witnessed a disturbing series of violent events, which some are speculating are part of a pattern, possibly even the work of a single suspect.
According to sources at the Los Angeles Police Department, everything seems to lead to the same name. Riley North. So, who is Riley North?
Looking to social media, theories abound. One possible link, Riley North's husband and daughter were gunned down in a drive-by shooting 5 years ago. There is a storm of online speculation about a connection.
At the crime scene, Carmichael and Lisa stand over a corpse.
34, Asian, male.
Moses approaches.
Well, I got a dozen witnesses who suddenly went blind and didn't see shit, so we got that going for us.
What the hell are the Koreans doing slumming it with Garcia?
Money laundering. Garcia's using their infrastructure to launder his cash. These fuckers ain't gonna be happy.
It's gonna get a whole lot worse if we don't get ahead of this.
Moses nods to Lisa, then to Carmichael.
We got every black and white in the city looking, every camera, faces all over the news.
Well, she knows what she's doing. It's turning into a typical social media shitstorm. Garcia's gonna love all this attention.
Carmichael nods to Moses.
Hey, man. There's something I want you to take a look at over here.
He leads Moses away. Lisa watches them go, then rolls her eyes.
Well, this is a hard sell. You honestly think that Riley North did this?
Oh, your fed girlfriend thinks so.
My what?
Stan, my man, you gotta focus on the task at hand. It's embarrassing.
The only interest I have in Agent Inman is professional.
If you say so.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, I'll hit up Gang Narcotics. I'll see if they have any intel on suspected Garcia locations. Get a list, set up some code fives, do surveillance, and see if she shows.
Moses shoots him a serious look.
You be careful who you ask those kind of questions to.
For fuck's sake, here we go again.
Oh, hey, it only takes a few guys in the right places. Watch your ass is all I'm saying.
Can you say hi to Bigfoot for me?
What, Lover's Quarrel? What about Bigfoot?
Yeah, we were debating who gets to be impressed by your FBI prowess. I won. So what are you thinking?
Riley North arrived in L.A. almost 3 months ago. Aren't you guys a little curious where she's been hanging out? You have a crime analysis department, right?
Yeah, come with me. I'll take you there.
As Carmichael and Lisa head off, Moses stays behind. Now, outside a secluded house in the hills, two men drag Marvin's body across a driveway. A group of Asian men get into two luxury cars and pull away. Inside, Garcia watches from the den with Cortez.
Cartel up our ass and now the Korean mob. What's she gonna hit next?
Garcia moves to a dry bar.
And Marvin told her about the lab.
That'll be my bet.
Fine. Then we send everybody there and just kill her when she shows up.
Garcia uses an ice pick to break up ice, then sets it down.
Boss.
Garcia gazes ahead pensively as he fixes himself a drink.
I should know about Marvin. The one guy who happened to know everything. She doesn't kill him. How did she know?
He sits and sips the drink.
She must have been watching us.
What do you think? Those missing shipments, it was her. She's been steering shit up. Finding out the moving pieces. Bitch has been fucking with us for weeks.
If that's the case, then maybe she's expecting us to send everybody to the lab.
Well, that dance is over. Bitch won't have the motherfucking lab. I will give her the motherfucking lab.
Nighttime. A car sits parked outside an industrial warehouse building. Inside, Riley gazes at the photo booth pictures of her family. She runs a thumb over the strip. Tears well in her saddened gaze as she looks in the rearview mirror. Carly sits in the back seat, staring back at Riley in the mirror. Riley snaps to attention and shoves the strip under her collar. She gets out of the car, pops open the back hatch, grabs an assault rifle, and screws a silencer onto the muzzle. Riley scans the area, loads a magazine into the rifle, chambers it, then shuts the hatchback door. At the Crime Analysis Center,
system tracks reported crime in real time. From that data, we determine where to send our resources, stop problems from spreading.
Any anomalies? Areas of higher violent crime than expected?
Besides tonight?
Going back a few weeks, are there any areas that stand out?
This can't predict where she'll turn up next.
You might tell me where she's been. Everywhere she goes, people get dead. She has to be living somewhere. Maybe I can locate where she's been staying, the base of operations, find her that way.
Carmichael and Lisa watch as the analyst types at a computer. He brings up a grid of Los Angeles with multicolored dots spaced over it almost evenly. He shakes his head.
Nothing. No sector or neighborhood stands out. No abnormal spike in crimes anywhere.
Carmichael glances at Lisa.
It's a good idea. I was impressed. Really? Oh, you want to see something really interesting? I was looking at this before you got here.
On a wall monitor.
Social media is lit up with support for her. She's a multiple homicide suspect. Well, not to them, she's not. Now that people know what she's been through, they're rooting for her. Look.
Messages open on the big screen. Lisa points to the grid.
Zoom in. There. What's that?
Skid Row.
Why does it look safer than Bel Air?
That's odd.
Has it always been like that? You keep the data, right?
Can you give me a minute?
Now, Riley enters the industrial warehouse with her rifle up and ready. She proceeds cautiously through the dark room. The workers, bricks of drugs, and tables are gone. Riley uses the rifle to move the plastic sheeting aside to peer into the clean room. Inside, lit candles burn on the Santa Muerte shrine, and the hooded figure looms in silhouette. Riley moves on. She slowly steps through the abandoned drug lab. Glancing down, she stops before a tripwire. Outside, in an SUV, the thin thug talks into a cell phone.
What's going on? Do you see anything?
A man on a rooftop with binoculars.
I don't see nothing.
Inside, Riley carefully steps over the tripwire. She spots a detonator, wires, and an explosive rigged to a large barrel. Riley takes off running. From the rooftop, the man with binoculars sees her through the windows.
She's in. Hit the remote.
Riley slides to a drainage grate. The thin thug grabs the detonator remote. As she struggles with the gate, he triggers the device. In slow motion, the explosion lights up the Santa Muerte skeletal statue before consuming it. A line of windows blows out. The man on the rooftop ducks as the entire warehouse goes up in flames. With with the analyst.
Okay, so the crime pattern started changing about 3 months ago.
Carmichael and Lisa observe.
Oh, shit. What's that?
An alert window displays.
Multiple reports of an explosion. Fire industrial warehouse downtown. Multiple
engines. You stay here. I'll catch up with you.
Unit just left station. Catch up. Where are you going?
I got a hunch.
We didn't talk about a hunch.
Lisa leaves. Carmichael answers his phone.
What?
Radios are lighting up.
What happened?
Downtown warehouse just exploded.
Is it her again?
I'll check it out.
Was it on the list of Garcia locations you got from Narco?
I don't know.
What the heck does that mean? Did you get a list or not?
I haven't heard back from them yet, okay? But I'm on it. They're probably just busy. There's a lot going on right now.
Yeah, right. By the way, Bigfoot says hi.
Oh, come on, Moses. That doesn't mean anything.
Moses hangs up. Now, the thin thug and rooftop guy flee the crime scene in the SUV. After they drive over metal grating on the street, Riley pushes it up from below. She lifts herself up out of the storm drain onto the street. Covered in sweat and soot, with the rifle slung around her shoulder, Riley spins as a sedan pulls to a stop.
Hey, are you okay?
Riley pushes past the Good Samaritan and jumps in his car.
Hey, get out of my car! Come on!
She starts it up and pulls away, then secures the seatbelt. At the house in the hills, Garcia stands before a Santa Muerte shrine, head bowed. Nearby, Cortez is on the phone. Meanwhile, Riley guns the sedan down a commercial street.
It's them. I got her.
Cortez hands the boss the phone. Garcia speaks to the thin thug and rooftop guy in the SUV.
What's the word?
Hey, boss, we smoked her ass.
Are you sure?
She was up in there when it went up.
There's no way she's living through that shit. Trust me, she's gone.
Riley drives, scanning ahead of her. She pulls past traffic ahead.
The fools are moving up in the world.
You're calling some shots pretty soon.
Thank you, boss.
Now get your ass back here.
Garcia raises a fist.
Hold on there!
Riley's sedan approaches the thug's SUV from behind.
We'll be calling some shots! Ooh!
With the SUV in her sights, Riley sips a drink through a straw, then uses her mouth to remove the lid and downs the contents. Now, a woman's hand holds a phone with a map app open. The words Skid Row appear. On a dark street, Lisa lowers her phone and starts forward. She undoes her ponytail as she continues walking down the still Skid Row street. Maria and Jose spot Lisa.
That's a cop.
How do you know?
Who else would be dumb enough to bring a new car here?
Lisa spots the two children watching her and approaches them. Riley's van sits behind her.
Hi. Can I talk to you guys for a second?
The kids duck down from view.
Lost.
The gaunt homeless man wheels a cart.
I'm looking for someone.
No one's looking for nobodies.
Isn't it dangerous at night for the kids?
Lisa walks with him.
Not anymore.
Why is that?
He glances to his right.
We got an angel now.
As he continues on, Lisa stops and follows his eyeline. The view circles around her. Covering a building wall, a graffiti of a hooded Riley with angel wings looms over Lisa. Firearms comprise the tips of her feathers. Riley, in the sedan, follows the SUV up a rising street. She pulls close behind them.
Is that car following us?
What are you talking about?
Around a corner, she passes them in the oncoming lane.
I told you lay off that shit, man. You're getting paranoid.
Shut the fuck up.
Around another corner, the sedan blocks their way.
Shit! What the fuck's up with that guy?
Riley appears driver's side, shoots the rooftop guy in the passenger seat, then stabs the thin thug in the chest. Near the garage of Garcia's house in the hills, an armed guard patrols the compound.
puerta al infierno.
Inside, Garcia and Cortez toast and drink. A TV report catches Cortez's eye, and he presses a remote.
Boss, check it out.
What makes you think Riley North did this too?
Oh, because I saw her jack this dude's car and just take off, and she was pissed.
Social media continues to explode with debate about female vigilante Riley North still on the loose.
Outside, the SUV approaches the closed gate to the compound. Two goons peer through an opening in the gate.
It's them. Open it.
The gate slides open. One goon approaches the vehicle. The driver's side view mirror reflects the thin thug's closed-eyed face. The first goon gets shot. From the backseat, Riley shoots the second one. The SUV pulls through the opened gateway. Armed men stand guard at Garcia's compound. The SUV continues slowly up the driveway. Crouching low behind the moving vehicle, Riley stealthily moves away from it to a row of rectangular columns a distance from the house. Peering from between two columns, she sights two of Garcia's guards and takes them out with her sound-suppressed rifle. Alerted, two other guards take aim at the approaching SUV and fire. Inside, Garcia and Cortez go for their guns. As the guards riddle the SUV with bullets, Riley sneaks back behind it and shoots them. She trails the SUV. Inside.
Kill the lights!
Cortez exits.
Stay with the boss!
The lights in the house dim as the SUV continues toward it. A guard in front of the house fires, but Riley takes him out. The SUV slams into the house, breaking through a wall and demolishing a room. Another guard runs across the lawn to a set of stairs. Hiding in the railing, Riley pops him. Inside, Garcia and his guard get low. A bandana-wearing thug checks out the dead men in the SUV. Riley appears behind him, assault rifle raised. Her shots knock him back into the vehicle. She treads down a hallway. A thug with a pistol knocks her against a wall. She elbows his face, sends him into an opening while yanking his arm around the corner. Another goon enters the hall, and Riley takes him out using the pistol in the broken arm's hand, then shoots the first thug with his own gun. Continuing the hunt with a rifle raised, Riley enters a room where Jessica cowers by a bed.
Don't, please. Don't. I'm not here to hurt you.
Riley squats and covers Jessica's mouth. Dropping her hand, she stares at the girl's battered face. She points over Riley's shoulder. Jessica scrambles over the bed as a bald thug enters, shooting. Riley shoots from under the bed. The bald thug pulls her up and shoves her against a wall. Riley headbutts him, and he stumbles backward. She shoots him in the head, point blank. Pistol raised, she heads out of the room. In the den, Garcia crouches nervously next to the dry bar. Garcia startles. In the hallway, Riley finishes off another guard as she stalks by him. She loads a clip into her pistol, shoves it under her arm, then raises the rifle slung around her neck. Nearing the den, she shoots into the room. Garcia's guard returns fire as Riley moves down an adjacent hallway. At an opening in the wall, she spots the guard. She fires, but he ducks. He and Garcia fire at the opening. Garcia crouches as the guard adjusts his weapon. Riley takes him out and heads back down the hall. Garcia peeks from behind the dry bar. Riley holds her pistol out as she turns the corner to the den. Garcia shoots, but Riley draws back. He runs out of ammo and she enters.
Fucking move!
Garcia rises as Riley points the pistol at him.
Fuck are you? What do you want?
What do I want? I want justice.
A dark-haired girl enters. Riley stares at her. Images flicker, replacing the girl with Carly. Garcia knocks the pistol away, grabs the ice pick, and stabs Riley.
Let's go!
He grabs his daughter and jets, leaving Riley holding her side.
Boss!
Riley moves off as Cortez and more men move down the hallway, weapons drawn.
Boss!
Garcia rushes to them.
Boss! Where is she?
He carries his daughter.
That's okay.
Jefe, we gotta go. We gotta go now.
Vamos.
Now, Riley hurries down a wooded hillside. She tumbles, rolling over and over until she comes to a thudding stop. Holding her side, she struggles to her feet. As a police car turns a corner up the hillside road, Riley slides out of the woods onto the street. She glances up over her shoulder, then limps down the street, holding her wounded side. Now, outside an upscale house with Christmas lights and reindeer decorations. Peg opens the door.
Riley?
The wounded Riley punches her in the face.
Good evening, Peg.
Now, in Peg's bathroom. Riley spits blood into the sink. Looking at herself in the mirror, she inspects the stab wounds on her side. She checks a drawer, then a cabinet next to the mirror. She grabs a pink package, unwraps it, and places a sanitary napkin over her wounds. She holds it in place as she cinches her bulletproof vest tightly around it. She leans back against the vanity. Now, Riley walks to the kitchen, where a bloody-nosed Peg sits bound to a chair.
I remember the address. Sorry we missed the party last time.
Riley, you're fucking crazy. Everything they said about you is true.
They exchange hateful glares.
You know, I couldn't help but notice you're not wearing a ring on that finger anymore.
Peg averts her eyes.
He left you, didn't he? For someone younger, prettier. Go fuck yourself.
Riley draws her pistol and puts it to Peg's forehead.
Oops.
Urine dribbles under Peg's chair.
Yes, he left, okay? You're right. Please, this is not going to bring her back. I am very sorry that Carly...
Don't say my daughter's name.
Okay, I won't. You're going to get locked up. You're going to go to jail for a very long time. They will catch you. This is not... You don't want to be doing this.
Riley lowers the gun and steps closer.
Thank you. I'm going to burn your house down now, Peg, with you inside of it.
Riley grabs keys and heads out.
Riley! Riley! Get back here, Riley! No!
Stop squealing, Peg. I'm just kidding.
Riley! No! No! Riley!
A luxury SUV peels out of Peg's driveway, takes out a lit-up reindeer, and speeds away down a street. At Garcia's compound in the hills, police cars and an ambulance sit in the driveway. Cops and other personnel work the crime scene, some covering bodies with sheets. A dead thug lies near the stairs.
Moses, get that info you want.
Shoot.
Moses steps to a cop.
All right, this place is owned by an overseas company out of Belize. So any number of assholes can be
connected.
This
is Diego Garcia's house.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Hey, you seen Carmichael anywhere? I can't get him on the phone.
Ain't my turn to watch him, baby.
The cop heads off.
Hey, asshole. You see him, tell him to call me. I'm a little worried about him.
I'll do that.
Hey, Barker. What the fuck's going on in narcotics?
Carmichael's been trying to get a list of Garcia locations from you guys, and he gets blown off. You got somebody trying to protect that motherfucker?
Hold on, Moses.
No, don't Moses
me. I've been trying to call Carmichael all goddamn night.
Barker towers over Moses.
What?
Yeah. Calls, texts, emails. Even went by his desk twice. We've been trying to coordinate with him since this thing started. Who told you we didn't call him back?
Moses stares, wide-eyed.
He did.
In Skid Row, Carmichael pulls his sedan to a stop in front of the graffiti of Riley as an angel. He steps out of the car. Maria and Jose spy him.
I think there's another cop.
Where's your backup? What took you so long?
Sorry, they're a little behind. What do you got?
I snooped around a little.
Lisa opens Riley's van.
Look what I found.
A plethora of firearms.
Damn.
The van wasn't even locked. You'd have to be insane to leave a vehicle in this neighborhood, but unlocked with an arsenal in the back.
People are too afraid to steal from her.
She closes the van.
I don't think it's fair, Stan.
Lisa shines a light on the graffiti, and Carmichael eyes it.
It's not some software glitch that makes this area low crime. It is low crime because of her.
So how do you want to play it?
Set up surveillance, apprehend her when she returns. We can take her alive.
Alive?
She's obviously been watching Garcia's operation for weeks. God only knows what she's figured out. We get her to talk, we take down him, his suppliers, everything and everybody. If the rumors are true, Garcia has someone tipping him from the inside. And she's gotten closer than we ever will. I'm gonna head back to the office. I'll coordinate the interagency, FBI, DEA, LAPD, and internal affairs.
Hey, Inman, I have to tell you something.
Yeah, what?
I'm sorry.
Carmichael shoots Lisa point blank, then puts another into her fallen body. The kids see it and startle. Carmichael scans around, then starts dragging Lisa's body. The kids share a glance, then rise. Now, Carmichael walks toward his car. He wipes prints off a revolver and dumps it in a shopping cart next to a tent. At his car, he makes a call.
I know where to find her.
Stay where you are.
You gather your crew. Tell those fuckers it's time to earn their money.
Garcia addresses his men.
I don't care if you have to burn the city down, but this shit ends tonight. Understood?
His men ready their weapons. Elsewhere, Peg's SUV is up on a curb. Riley hobbles away from it. Now, Riley collapses on the second floor of a warehouse, wearing an anguished expression. She gazes ahead, her eyes welled with tears. She lies motionless, eyes closed. Outside, two large SUVs pull to a stop near Carmichael's parked sedan. He gets out.
Hello.
Garcia and Cortez exit an SUV. Carmichael approaches Garcia.
I got someone in the 911 center. Any calls from this area will route through him. We had to do this fast.
Cortez instructs as more men arrive.
Is this smart? We're announcing ourselves. I don't know that she's here yet.
If she's here, we'll find her.
All right, let's go.
A van of men in coveralls and balaclavas arrive.
You say go ahead and move it and fucking go ahead.
Garcia's crew rouses the homeless in their tents.
Come on.
Hey!
Get up!
Maria comforts Jose as Cortez leads the search.
Jump over there.
In the warehouse, Riley lies on her side, motionless. Carly walks upstairs to the second floor and approaches her mother. Carly kneels behind her mother and gently pets her head. Riley's eyes remain closed. Outside, Cortez leads the masked men in their search for her. An expression of despair covers Riley's face. Meanwhile, a masked man enters a warehouse. Carly leans over Riley. The masked man searches the first floor.
You have to wake up now.
Riley startles awake and looks around. Carly is gone. Meanwhile, the masked man spots a splatter of blood on the ground. He speaks into a walkie-talkie.
We got something here. Warehouse. West of the alley.
Oh, come on.
Outside, two men follow Cortez down an alley. Weapon raised, the masked man continues searching the first floor. Riley shoves a metal desk. It falls to the first floor, hitting the masked man. Riley climbs down the steps. Moving to the downed man, she grabs his pistol and sticks it in her waistband. She unzips his coveralls and uncovers a stun grenade.
Back to me, guys. What's going on?
Riley grabs the walkie-talkie.
Did you find her?
Maybe. Going in now.
Cortez and the two masked men enter the warehouse, guns drawn. Clear bags of dry-cleaned clothing hang throughout the room. Cortez spots the masked man hit by the metal desk on the floor.
Holy shit.
On his walkie.
Mando.
Garcia shoots Carmichael a look. Cortez and the men slowly move toward the body. As the masked men cover him, Cortez lowers next to the body. Riley hides behind dry cleaning bags. Cortez lifts the body, releasing the pin of the stun grenade. It explodes. Riley pops out and takes out the two masked men. She shoots Cortez in the torso, then fires one at his head. His body slumps to the floor. Riley moves toward the bodies.
Cortez, we heard gunshots. Did you get her? Cortez!
Outside, Carmichael holds the walkie-talkie with a concerned expression as Garcia eyes him. From an alley, Riley peers through wooden slats toward the vehicles. She keys the walkie-talkie.
Listen to me. Get out of here. Leave these people alone. Just give me Garcia and go.
Or so help me God, I will kill every single one of you. Your choice.
She's bluffing.
Garcia snatches the walkie away from Carmichael and brings it to his mouth.
I can hear the pain in your voice. You're hurting. You're hurting bad. Outmanned, outgunned.
How you really think this is gonna go?
Riley leans back against the wall.
I'm gonna shoot you in your fucking face.
And then I'll pretty much figure it out from there.
I'll see you soon.
Garcia glances around, then hands the walkie-talkie back to Carmichael, who gazes downward. In the alley, Riley sits near a dumpster. She turns to it.
You reached Special Agent Lisa Inman.
At the police station.
She's not answering me either.
Shit.
We gotta find her. See if we can get her location on Inman's cell phone. Find out where he last pinged the tower.
Yeah, already ahead of you. Hi, this is Special Agent Lee. I need a cell phone location. Special Agent narcotics. Lisa Inman.
I need a stingray van immediately. Los Angeles. 323.
Moses stands, his brow furrowed.
9357. Yeah, right now.
In the alley, Riley lifts the dumpster's lid. She finds Lisa's bloodied corpse. Reaching in, she grabs Lisa's cell phone and checks it. It's functioning. She drops the lid. At the precinct, Moses pours a cup of coffee in the break area. A news broadcast plays on a TV above him. On screen, a graphic swipes to a live video call from Riley in Skid Row. Moses glances up.
Where's the remote? Where's the remote for the TV? Where's the remote?
A uniformed cop hands him the remote. He turns up the volume as Barker and Agent Lee rush in. Riley reports from a rooftop.
Okay, you see, that guy is a dirty cop.
Motherfucker.
Carmichael.
That scumbag right there, that is Diego Garcia. He is the man who killed my entire family.
Riley turns the phone camera around to show her face.
If you have a news crew, come on down. And if you have a cell phone and you want to come and take videos, come on down. And if you are the LAPD, this is where the party is. I'm not going anywhere. Come and get me. I'm Riley North. I'm in Skid Row. I'm in the corner of Olympic and San Julian.
You got a location!
Riley?
Let's go, let's go!
I guess we lost that connection.
The thugs grab Maria and Jose.
Hey, come on, man. She's just a kid.
Garcia points a pistol at Carmichael.
You're in this. You've always been in this. You want out? Just nod.
The muzzle presses against his face.
No, you're right. I'm in.
Garcia shoves Carmichael onto a car hood, then grabs a hold of Maria.
Maria!
Hey, soon to beat that bitch. You hear me? I got someone here I want you to meet. Say your name, sweetheart.
He holds the walkie-talkie in front of Maria.
Tell her your name.
My name is Maria.
Riley's head drops.
Maria here?
She's about to die because of you.
Damn, you just
don't seem to have any luck with little girls, do you?
He pushes Maria to her knees, then aims the pistol at the back of her head.
No, stop!
I'm gonna count to five. Then I'm gonna blow her fucking head off. One.
No!
Two.
Maria closes her teary eyes.
Maria!
Three.
On the rooftop, Riley exhales.
Four.
she keys the walkie.
I'm coming.
Meanwhile,
SWAT team is 10 minutes behind us.
Forget it. We're not waiting.
Moses hops into the driver's seat as Barker gets into the passenger side. They speed off along with other police vehicles. Back in Skid Row, Riley carries a pistol as she marches with a slight limp toward Garcia and the rest of the goons.
Drop the gun!
She drops it, holding out her hands. As she gets closer, Riley looks to Maria.
Are you okay?
I knew you'd save me. I knew it.
You were right. Here I am. Let her go.
Garcia pushes Maria up, and she runs into Riley's arms.
You have to go now, Maria.
You have to come with me.
I can't. No. I wish you
could. Get out of here. Come on.
Just go. Get safe.
No! Please! No! No, get off me!
A thug drags no. Maria away.
No. No. Stop.
Riley faces Garcia and their eyes lock. She saunters up to him.
Are you scared of me?
Garcia glances downward pensively, then looks up. He sucker punches Riley in the gut and she goes down. She slowly rises back to her feet.
Is this where you have one of your flunkies shoot me? Coward. You want to get your hand dirty, huh?
He clocks her across the face.
Get her up!
A masked man pulls her up to her feet. Garcia punches. She avoids it. She ducks under his backhand.
I'm waiting.
You gotta get out of here. She's toying with you, stalling. Just
shut
get it
the fuck
over
up!
With.
Let me have a little fun here.
Garcia connects with a body blow, then a hit to the arm.
No!
She shoots him a look and smirks.
You hit like a girl.
With a front kick, he sends her backwards into a shopping cart, which topples over, its contents spilling on the street.
You see that? She ain't done with shit.
Rolling over, Riley spots a revolver dumped out from the shopping cart.
I must say that I am a bit disappointed. I thought you were gonna put on a real fight. Make it fun for me.
You wanna hear a secret?
Garcia leans over her.
You should have listened to Carmichael.
Lights flash as black and white speed onto the scene. Goons scatter.
LAPD, stay where you are. Grab your weapon.
A police helicopter hovers above.
Police!
Carmichael raises his badge. Garcia leaves Riley on the ground. She grabs the discarded revolver.
Police! You saw me, puto!
Garcia riddles Carmichael with bullets, then runs off. The dirty cop slumps to the ground. Moses gets out of the car. Riley gets to her feet.
You guys can't go through here. Stay back.
No, hey!
Cops block reporters while others hunt with their guns drawn. Garcia rushes to a sidewalk.
Move!
Moses scuttles forward, gun raised. He spots something and pauses. He studies Carmichael, lying dead on the ground. Looking up, he spots Riley limping across the street toward the sidewalk. He takes off. Garcia sprints down the sidewalk.
Militia coming up! Militia! Out of my fucking way!
Suddenly, Riley appears in front of him. She clocks him. He raises his pistol, but she wrestles it away and backhands him. She avoids a punch, sends a second back into his face, then tosses him against a post. She aims the pistol at him. Moses and other cops approach, guns drawn.
Riley North! Step back! We got him! We'll take care of it!
Like you did last time.
Now he ain't getting away. Just drop the gun!
She glances at Moses and stares at Garcia.
Riley! On the ground! Don't do it! I'm begging you!
She wears a conflicted expression.
Please, Riley! You crazy ass! You'll spend more time in prison than me.
Garcia grins.
We're not going to prison.
Riley shoots him in the head. Cops fire and she falls to the ground.
Cease fire!
Moses scans around, then moves off. gun drawn, Moses steps forward, followed by other cops. He reaches the spot where Riley went down, but finds only Garcia's motionless body.
Where the hell is she?
He scans around, then ducks through an opening in a fence. He finds nothing on the other side and pulls out a handheld radio.
Airship, airship, what do you see? You got eyes on anything?
Negative, negative. We lost visual.
Barker approaches.
Total clusterfuck. She could be anywhere. We're setting the perimeter 10 blocks out, but who knows?
Don't bother, I know where she's going.
An aerial view appears of the sun rising behind a Los Angeles skyline. At the cemetery. With a hand on her side, Riley limps toward the north gravesite. She falls to her knees before it and grabs the headstone. She rests her head and hand up against it. Observing from a distance, Moses slowly steps toward her as other cops fan out.
I've missed you so much.
She weeps on hands and knees over her family's gravesite.
Riley.
She lies on her side.
Just let me die.
I can't do that.
Moses squats next to her.
This isn't where the story ends.
It is for me.
Riley closes her eyes and goes limp. Moses checks her pulse.
Need an RA! Now!
Staying by Riley's side, Moses gets to his knees and puts a hand on her head. Fade to black. Later, at Los Angeles City General Hospital, Moses passes by a TV.
So is Riley North a vigilante, folk hero, common criminal, or all of the above? Public opinion seems largely in support of her, but the law may not agree. The LAPD stance was clarified just an hour ago by Chief Matthew Rogers.
The Los Angeles Police Department's position is clear. Riley North will answer for her actions, and she will stand trial for multiple counts of homicide.
Moses approaches a uniformed cop standing outside a room.
How you doing? Detective Beltran, take over for a bit. Why don't you grab yourself a cup of coffee?
The guard nods and heads off. Moses saunters into the room. He stares thoughtfully as he moves forward. Then pauses.
Hi, Riley.
Riley lies in the hospital bed with her eyes closed.
Remember me?
She opens her eyes and glances at him.
How you feeling?
She closes them again. Moses steps to her side.
You killed a lot of very bad people. You took down a massive drug operation. Exposed dirty bastards in my own department.
She shrugs her brow.
There's not a cop I know that... Well...
She's handcuffed to the bed rail.
Let's just say some of us wish things didn't have to be this way.
Moses holds her cuffed hand with both of his and gives her two gentle taps. She eyes him.
Well.
Moses shifts his eyes, nods, and straightens.
Hope you get better soon.
He heads for the door. She watches him go. Glancing down, she opens her cuffed hand. Inside is a key. Her eyes shift and she glances to the side. The image flickers to an open cuff hanging off the bed rail. Credits appear. Directed by Pierre Morel. Written by Chad St. John. Produced by Tom Rosenberg, Gary Lucchese, Richard Wright, Eric Reed. Executive producers Robert Simmons, Adam Fogelson. Executive producers David Kern, James McQuaid. Executive producers Donald Tang, Renee Tabb, Christopher Tuffin. Executive producers Wang Zhangjun, Wang Zhangli, Felice B. Director of photography David Landsenberg. Production designer Ramsey Avery. Editor Frederick Thorabell. Costume designer Lindsay Ann McKay. Music by Simon Franklin. Co-producer Jackie Shendo. Casting by Deanna Brigidi, CSA. A Pierre Morel film. Jennifer Garner. Peppermint. John Ortiz. John Gallagher Jr. Juan Pablo Raba. Annie Alonza. Jeff Heppner. Pell James. And Cliff Method Man Smith. Kaylee Fleming. Tyson Ritter. Richard Cabral. Johnny Ortiz. Eddie Shin. John Boyd. Michael Mosley. Ian Castleberry. More credits roll. We'll be right back. Trademark and copyright 2018 Lakeshore Entertainment Productions, LLC and STX Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. The persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons or events is unintentional. This motion picture is protected under laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. This film has been described by Pixelogic Media with funding by STX Entertainment, voiced by William Michael Redman. Logos appear. A boy is suspended mid-air jumping off a pier. Lakeshore Entertainment. White courier-type letters appear over a black background. STX Films.